Hello, everyone. Welcome to Revive Health's Daily Briefing Live for Friday, April 10th. This is our 30-minute review of the latest, most important news, resources, and advice for health system marketers and communicators who are dealing with the COVID-19 crisis. I am Chris Bevelo, Health Systems Practice Lead at Revive Health and your host for the show. Today, I'm joined by Jaleesa, our Marketing Manager at Revive Health. Hi, Jaleesa. You're subbing in
Hello.
For Jay.
I am.
Jaleesa writes.
Thank you,
I missed your last name. Yes, thank you for sitting in. And we are also joined by Tanya Andradis, who is Chief Marketing Officer at UCLA Health. Tanya, did I get your name right?
Yes, you did. Good morning. Thanks, Chris.
I'm freezing in all the last names. And of all the people to do that, my last name is Bevelo. So that's really not really, I should, of all people, know how important that is. So Tanya is analytical marketing executive with over 20 years of digital strategy, campaign execution, brand development and marketing research and analytics experience. She has been at UCLA Health since the beginning of 2019. And before that, spent 8 years at Penn Medicine. So yes, welcome, Tanya.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, we are so glad to have you here and looking forward to diving in here in a little bit. As with each show, we're going to cover the latest news on COVID-19, how it relates to marketing communications, provide some helpful resources. We also want this to be an open forum for interaction as much as possible. Though everybody, of course, is muted, we are looking for questions that Tanya and I can take at the end of this episode. So if you have a question, put it in the Q&A queue at the bottom of your Zoom window. You can put that in there at any time. And at the end of our show, we will take on as many as we can. You can also use the chat function to talk to other attendees. But if you'd like us to answer a question, make sure you get it in that Q&A queue so we can see it there. Also, Jaleesa is going to be putting any relevant links we may mention in the chat function so that you can access those live while we're talking if you want to see anything. Of course, you can always see a recording of this at our website. We post it every afternoon at thinkrevivehealth.com. There's a banner at the top of our homepage that takes you to our COVID-19 communications hub. If you want to remember a longer URL to go right to that, it's thinkrevivehealth.com/COVID-19. And also, as you know, hopefully if you're a regular listener or have been on in the last couple of weeks, we now are up and live on iTunes. So you can subscribe to this as a podcast, which makes it really easy for you to listen to whenever it is convenient to you. Couple of last notes before we start diving in. We are not experts on COVID-19 itself, so not a place to come for medical or scientific advice. We will have opinions on how marketers and communicators might want to manage this crisis. But obviously, everybody's situation is unique, so make sure you keep it, what's happening at your own organization and your own community in mind as you take in the things that we're going to be sharing today. So with that, we're going to go to the news. And I think what we'll do is we'll just, so we have more time with Tanya, we're just going to do a recap of the count of cases and deaths. We do this every show. It helps kind of keep an overarching context for what we're talking about. Obviously, as we continue to move toward what we hope is a soon forthcoming peak, that really shapes how we think about how we manage this crisis and how we come down on the other side of this. We'll obviously cover things a little differently as well. So we use the Johns Hopkins tool. And globally right now, we're at 1.6 million cases. So 1,631,310 cases with 98,401 deaths. So that's globally. The United States obviously continues to see an acceleration. We continue to get a little bit of good news, hearing about possible plateauing in New York City or New Jersey, where it's been a big hotspot. So that's good, though. Of course, even with the plateau, we've got to come down the other side of the mountain. Right now, we're at 473,093 cases in the United States total, and we're up to 17,836 deaths. So continues to kind of move in the wrong way. But again, hopefully sometime this month, we do see that plateau. Though again, as it moves across the country, that wave is going to look different depending on where you're at. So got that. Remind you of our resources. I mentioned it at the beginning. The podcast recording is put up every afternoon on our communications hub. We also have other resources there. Twice a week, we put out an e-newsletter with advice on how to manage the COVID-19 crisis. So you can see the content from that there as well, or subscribe, as well as the latest from our consumer survey, which we have now done two rounds of, and you can see the latest report on what consumers are saying about COVID-19, in particular related to hospitals and health systems. Some really important things there. So with all that put aside, Tanya, I think we should dive in. Are you ready?
Sure, I'm ready.
Okay, so I want to start with, given you're out of LA, and you know I'm based in Minneapolis, and I think it's really intriguing, at least from where I sit, that as we read the stories about COVID-19 and how it's hitting across the country, of course we hear a lot about New York. We heard a lot about Seattle and Washington as kind of where it all started, and we've heard more about some larger communities as they have kind of moved into crisis mode, like Detroit, Chicago, New Orleans. Los Angeles, as our second largest metro in the country, typically isn't mentioned a lot, which is good for Los Angeles. But maybe being based there, you could just update us on what is the status there? How are things going? And why do you think it is that Los Angeles hasn't maybe experienced this to the degree that some of the other metros have?
Sure. You know, I think just the first thing is we had the benefit of seeing what happened in Seattle. And in some ways, we're early responders in things like stay-at-home orders. Our schools closed, and the stay-at-home orders came, I guess it's about mid-March, and I think that was earlier than most. So many of us in LA have been home for a while. And, you know, just yesterday, I believe Mayor Garcetti issued a order for everyone to be masked in public. I think that's a trend that's happening. I heard from my family on the East Coast, it's happening there too. But I think we were early movers in the stay-at-home movement. I can give you some California and Los Angeles numbers just to sort of round out what you're saying about the globe and in the country. So California numbers as of yesterday, there were 16,957 confirmed cases and 442 deaths. In Los Angeles County, that number was 7,530 confirmed cases and about 198 deaths. We're seeing in Los Angeles somewhere between a 20 and 23% hospitalization rate pretty consistently. I think as of yesterday, it was about 22%. So we've stayed, people believe we haven't hit our peak yet, and everyone's really preparing for that, you know, whether it's making the space to accommodate the patients. We're like everybody else in a PPE crisis, so that's a constant conversation for us, is how do we get more PPE, and how do we make our staff feel safe, because, you know, we need to have enough for them to feel like when they come to work, they're protected. So that's been a really tough issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that answer your question? Kind of a state of affairs here.
Yeah, I think it's especially as we move through the peak. And again, obviously that varies across the country, but you know, you don't want to hear of any cases or deaths anywhere. So I don't want to downplay what you're experiencing in Los Angeles, but in some ways it sounds like you've benefited from the fact that, like, San Francisco, you know, got hit early. And so being part of California, you benefited from early interaction as a place where there wasn't necessarily a hotspot, and are benefiting now from kind of clamping down. Or even if they had clamped down in New York early on, it might have been difficult because it was a hotspot. And what I think is going to be interesting to see is, it's so counterintuitive in a way that the places where, you know, again, respective to your size, LA is faring pretty well, or other cities where they've had lower incidents, the tendency is going to be, well, we're in good shape. So maybe we can come out of this earlier, yeah, coming out of, what I mean, stay at home and wearing masks and social distancing. when in a lot of ways, the reason that those places are in a good state is because of that activity. And right. So it may seem tempting to come out of it because, hey, we're doing pretty good, but that might just open the doors back up. And I think it's going to be interesting to see, especially over the last half of April, how we grapple with that as a country.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. That's a huge concern, actually. And, you know, one of the things that's happening at UCLA Health, and I'm sure it's happening at other health systems throughout the country, is the realization of how financially devastating this is. And also, you know, feeling like we have to get back to normal business to help our patients. We're, you know, a TQ center, and we have people who, it's not elective surgery, it's surgery they need, or who need treatments, and we haven't been able to tend to those patients to the degree that we should be for their health. So trying to find that right balance, right, of how do you get back into business treating patients that need to be treated that are not COVID related, but not to go too far to put us all at risk again.
Yeah, it's so tough. And we've been working a lot on that. We had our CEO on last week talking about what we call the need for rapid recovery financially, to really, as soon as possible, get back to the elective procedures, which in studying this, we looked that up because, of course, that can be confusing. I have a relative who had a significant cardiac procedure delayed, and we were thinking, how is that elective, right? And the definition, one of the definitions we found for elective procedure, elective surgery, is any surgery that can be scheduled, right? If it's emergent, you have to do it now, that's one thing. But if it can be scheduled, then some of those things are being put off. And obviously we know cancer patients, there are folks that are really suffering. So it's not just for the organizations that need to get back, but we need to get these folks back in for care as soon as possible. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So why don't you give folks an overview of the things that you've been doing? I know there's a couple of things we want to dive into a little more deeper, but just overall, from a communication standpoint, what are some of the things, Tanya, that your group has been doing at UCLA Health during this crisis?
Sure. You know, it's been really fascinating as a marketer in this environment, and actually really rewarding to know how important our work is in communicating and sharing information. And we have just been fully engaged, our teams of marketing and communications. We have daily huddles with our executive leadership. We have multiple daily huddles, but we have one that's specific to communications. We have daily huddles with just the communications and marketing teams about preparing for the executive meetings. And we have people who are just really working around the clock. We're always on weekends, nights. You know, I have people who are making web updates at midnight last night, and I wake up to a whole, you know, string of emails in the morning. And it's just been that way for about a month now. It's just been intense. It's starting to pay off. We're also communicating with our patients on a regular basis, sending broad email communications, and we're getting tremendous feedback from people about how valuable the information is, and to have information from a vetted resource that they can trust, as opposed to, you know, all the stuff online that it's really hard to navigate. We have also put up a chatbot, and I swear we got a website built for internal, a website built for external, and then a chatbot, and it was like 0 to 10. I mean, it almost felt like we would have had said before this, it was impossible to achieve any of that.
Right.
But it went so fast, and we built it, and you know, people are finding the resources helpful from feedback we're getting. The chatbot, I think we got the contract signed maybe a few weeks before. Thinking we're going to have this long implementation plan to have, you know, sort of our providers and locations and the typical things. And then COVID hit and it was like, okay, let's go. And we're working with Loyal Health, who's been just incredible in helping us stand up this bot like fast. So we're not just pointing people to CDC or pointing to LA County or WHO resources. We're investing a lot of time. We have daily chatbot optimization meetings. We're looking at feedback from patients, people who couldn't get their questions answered. We launched the risk assessment tool we actually sent an email out yesterday to our patients, and one of the things was on risk assessment. And we've been averaging probably, you know, somewhere in the couple hundred, you know, on a good day, 500 people using our chatbot a day.
Wow.
Yesterday, we had 2,000 people complete the risk assessment, and wow, we had over 3,000 people engage in the bot. It was like incredible. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's intense. And it's also hard because we have to, these questions are changing by the day, you know, things like, is coronavirus airborne? How long does it live on surfaces? Do I have to wear a mask in public? I mean, these are literally changing sometimes multiple times a day. So that's been really the challenge, but I think also what makes the bot valuable that we're all over it and we're trying to make it a huge value asset to the people who need our help. We're also about to translate it into Spanish, which I am very excited about. I mean, we're going to start with our FAQs online, but I'm also, you know, aware of the weight that's going to put on the team, because now every time we update an English question, we have to update a Spanish question. And so while translating is really important for our geography, and we should have done it a long time ago, the weight of it is just, it's just a lot of work.
Yeah, I can only imagine it, but it's fantastic that you're getting there. We had folks on just a couple weeks ago talking about how important it is that all of this information is translated for multicultural audiences. And at the time, I don't know if this is still true, but this was maybe late March when we had this guest on and pointed out, you know, hey, the CDC hasn't updated their website in terms of Spanish translation since the middle of February. Right. Yeah. So here we have like one of the primary sources for information in the country, not making updated information available to folks, huge population, obviously, and there are others as well, but that's fantastic. You're able to do that. I want to remind folks as we keep going here, and if you've got a question for Tanya, go ahead and put that in the Q&A queue, so we can get to that. Let's talk about a program that I see all over LinkedIn, which is my primary social media source these days, and that's Team LA. You guys have really been out there with this. It's such a positive message. But why don't you share with people what that program's about, you know, what you're hoping to do with it, and then maybe some successes that have come out of it.
Yeah, thank you for asking about that. This has been, you know, this is kind of, it's just, it started because we were at a time where LA was starting to get hit hard in the beginning of this. And we thought we need to do something to help. Everybody was terrified. The community was like feeling like, what is this? This is unknown. You know, at certain points of it, it was, oh, this is going to last a couple weeks and then we'll all be through it. So we started this hashtag Team LA, like, okay, guys, we're going to beat this. Let's come together as a city. Let's not let this get us down. At that point, we had messaging in the market that was really related to our U.S. News and World Report success and things like that. And it just seemed inappropriate for the time to be talking about, you know, number one in Los Angeles when we really needed to be providing support for our community. So we went out with this concept of hashtag Team LA, which is let's work together apart, really, you know. So mm-hmm. at a time where togetherness started to feel like an odd concept, we knew that our individual behaviors have so much impact on the outcome and stopping the spread of this pandemic. And so we wanted to remind people of that. We're also seeing like pictures of people, you know, at the farmer's market. I don't know if that news hit everywhere, but you know, it's kind of like the people at the beach in Miami.
Right.
We had that, you know, where it's like, what are people missing here? They're so good. Right. Farmer, you know? So we said, we got to get out there with some messaging. So there's, the campaign has four pillars of messaging. It's mostly social media, although we will be doing some public service announcements types of things on, so with our partner radio and TV. But the first pillar is collective resolve, which is about, again, come together. We can do this. This isn't going to last forever, but it's going to require that we have this resolve. The other is really specific to citizen action, like do these things, you know, wash your hands, you know, the stuff that you see. Social distance, we're calling it physical distancing now because social just seems like the wrong word.
Right.
We want people to actually be very social, just not together, right? So physical distance, wear the face coverings, all of these things that are coming out to reinforce those behaviors. Then we have a sort of empathy pillar of communication, which is about, we know this is hard. We have mental health resources for you. We know it's hard to take care for your children at times like this. We have resources for that. And we also want to acknowledge that this is hard, but again, we can get through it together. And then the other is gratitude, which I think all of us are seeing a lot of this in the market. Gratitude for the frontline staff and gratitude for people who are donating PPE and meals and things like that. So we've had a lot of activity around the gratitude pillar of communication, huge. And actually, hashtag Team LA, the stats I got yesterday just in Twitter alone has seen 170 million impressions.
Wow.
And 170 million impressions is like almost like you can't get your head around it. We get probably in a month, usually about a million hits to our website for, you know, comparison's sake. So 170 million impressions in a month around just on one social channel for this hashtag is incredible. And we've had so much support from the community, which is the whole point of it all. And it'll keep growing, and we'll continue to focus on those other pillars of communication and hopefully be a source of motivation and inspiration and strength for the community as we go through this and hit our peak and then try to figure out how to recover.
You know, we have since the beginning of the podcast and this crisis been saying, you know, our research has shown people want to hear from hospitals and health systems more than any other resource. You know, obviously your organizations are being held up, rightly so, as the heroes in all of this. And at the same time, we've also had, to varying degrees, depending on where you're at, kind of a vacuum of leadership, especially early on, a lot of confusing information coming from different places. Again, the CDC kind of slow, federal government all over the place. And so there's been this opportunity, which is not the right word, but maybe even obligation in some ways for hospitals or health systems to step up and be a community leader, to not just advocate and communicate information like how to wash your hands, which of course is very important, but to help our communities get through this, to provide that encouragement and the support in a clear-eyed way, right? I mean, it's a very tough time, and we all realize that, but I think this is just such a great example of that. And I know you've had, you know, I see like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was part of it. I mean, you've had some pretty big folks who've joined in, right?
Yeah, it helps to have those big names for sure. Yesterday, the Rams quarterback posted a video, and you know, we're getting pretty constant. You know, one thing that I think I took for granted, we have strategic partnerships with the Lakers and the Dodgers, and so, you know, at this time of year, we'd usually be planning for activations like in stadium, those kinds of things, and how to engage with fans and use their audience. And obviously all of that's out the window, but they have, both of those teams have come together to rally in the same way. This concept of hashtag Team LA, they're on the same team as us. We're on the same team as them. They want to help their community, and it's given them a vehicle to speak out and thank the frontline workers. And, one thing that's been really remarkable is a lot of relationships that we were working on and establishing, whether it's through our partnerships or through direct-to-employer relationships or people that we've helped, donors, alumni, they are taking our content and spreading it to their employees and to their networks. And it's had such a, it's giving us a opportunity to be really valuable to them in a time where they don't know where to turn. So it's not just like the sort of direct path to consumer, but it's through the employers really where they're saying, here's this valuable information from UCLA Health. And I think I never thought about that path prior to this being so valuable and spreading the word about what we're able to do, but it's been amazing.
Yeah, that's terrific. And by the way, I'm gonna give a shout out to Jeff Spear. Jeff is, he's a colleague of ours at Revive Health, and he's stepped in and substitute hosted Wednesday. Huge UCLA fan. So when he heard you were going to be on, he got super excited. So I'm sure he's listening and he's, yeah, very excited.
Yeah, hi, Jeff.
So I want to ask you a question that's come through, because I think it relates to this, and we've heard it from some other systems that we work with and out in the community. So the goodwill that many health systems are experiencing right now, many hospitals are experiencing right now, is really unprecedented, right? We have, you know, we talked to somebody the other day who said there was literally a parade around our hospital celebrating us and celebrating our people. And, you know, that's not PR that you could drum up on your own ever. It's all a result of what we're all doing. And the question becomes, you know, obviously there will be a tail to this. It'll extend beyond the crisis. But the more that we can hang on to that sentiment, the better off we're going to be, you know. Do you have thoughts about, you know, is Team LA something that you might consider continuing after the crisis ends, or is that not appropriate? Have you, it's probably too soon, but have you thought about how in the world can we capture this sentiment in a bottle and keep it with us long term?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I mean, this circumstance has given us so much focus, and I think the beauty of it is also what we are able to pull off and do in a short amount of time. You know, we're getting stretched, and we're able to do so much because of the focus. And I would love to figure out how to take that focus and apply it sort of when we're on the hopefully downside of the curve, and then back to normal. I think that the Team LA concept can be extended. I don't know exactly how yet. You know, LA is an interesting place because it's huge and it's pretty stretched out, and it's a city of many cities and neighborhoods. Yeah. And so coming together is not, you know, in New York, it's much more condensed, or in Philly where I came from. Here it's pretty spread out. And so reinforcing togetherness around health and primary care, how important the role of a primary care provider is here to even for people to get tested, or all the things that have just kind of come to the surface now, how do we make sure we learn from that and we grow and apply it later? So we have to do that.
Yeah. I think there will be some that just naturally, you know, extends, and it's just going to happen. But at some point, you know, we'll move past this, thankfully. And this is, you know, people are being reminded of the role that hospitals and health systems really play. Most folks don't experience that until they have to go in for a life-saving kind of situation, their relatives. And then people realize these folks are heroes, right? But we're realizing it on a mass scale. And hopefully that sentiment just doesn't go away. But the more that I think we can think about how to extend that and support our brands, the better we're going to be. So I think, you know, however you do it, and it has to be appropriate, Team LA seems to lend itself to potentially doing that. Yeah. So hopefully that works for you. I want to thank you for coming on. This has been a great Friday show, because, you know, it's tough to do this every day, because it's a tough situation for everybody, really difficult. And I think so much of what you said, Chana, is positive. And so I appreciate that you're able to come on today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jaleesa, thank you so much for subbing in for Chase.
Absolutely. It was lots of fun.
He should be worried. I'm going to let him know that.
Yes.
Remember, everybody, to visit our website, thinkrevivehealth.com, banner at the top, to get to our communications hub on COVID-19. We will post a video recording of this there this afternoon. Again, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, which makes it really easy to find it. And to, again, as Tanya, you mentioned this earlier, to everybody out there who's doing this work, so critical to helping your organizations get through this, communications, but also all of us need it in this country. We have to be smart about what we're doing. We have to all follow, you know, the same path as much as we can. And communications is our guide to do that. So hang in there. It's really tough times for folks, and everybody is appreciating what you're doing. And we will be back on Monday and every day that this crisis goes on until it passes. So thanks for joining today. Have a great weekend as much as you can, and we will see you on Monday.